Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
So we're going to talk about conversations when you're stressed out.
Yeah, communication under stress.
Yeah.
Do you talk too much or do you not talk enough?
Or do you say the wrong things? Yeah.
So I think actually this is probably something that a lot of people know about themselves is
too late.
Notice about themselves is probably a better way to put it. That if they're suddenly confronted or they're asked a question they don't have the answer to, or someone demands something of them, that they either
get defensive,
maybe shut down, don't say anything, or they explain a little too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. So
let's talk about that first one.
Which one? The defensive?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a common reaction when you feel attacked to get defensive, but I've never really seen it work. And somehow I learned that in my family. I mean, I probably do it more now than I did when I was a young worker, but I somehow learned that it backfires.
You saw that.
I saw that in my family.
Yeah.
But I just own it. Like, just own it quickly.
Yeah.
Right, and it'll be far less damage.
Right.
And I think that's a general good rule.
Right. Yeah, I think if you are someone who tends to be defensive, first of all, you're probably defending yourself because you may not have done something wrong, or, you know, you've got a really strong response. And sometimes, so the challenge really is when you start hearing someone kind of come at you, if that's what you feel they're doing, is you have to calm your system down.
Yeah.
Because that defensive talking is coming from a certain energetic place.
So that's one. And, you know, sometimes it's good to buy yourself a little time also.
Yes.
When you know, somebody comes at you and accuses you of something, or you know, find out that they're talking to you in a tone you don't like.
Right.
And that's not always possible to buy yourself some time, but sometimes you can say, okay, I'm not really understanding. Please explain to me what you're saying. I'm not really, I want to make sure I get this right. So you can kind of diffuse it, but we don't always think that way in the moment.
Right.
But, you know, we coach a lot of people that get defensive on it's best not to get defensive.
Yeah. Well, it's best to know that about yourself. If you know that you are someone who, you know, whose reaction to criticism or confrontation is to want to fight back, that first you have to acknowledge that's what I do. And then, to your point, find ways to manage your response or restrain your response in some way. So I think what you were saying about asking, can you tell me more about that, or give me a moment to just really understand what you're trying to say, is a really good practice. It's actually a good practice to do before you get in a position where you're feeling defensive. Like, it's a good practice just to do so that when you're in that moment, you have that skill to draw on.
Yeah, I think especially in the workplace, it's not really welcome.
You know, not from your boss, for sure.
Well, really, even your coworkers. I think it just makes everybody's day kind of miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as soon as you realize, oh, I'm being defensive, it's good to say, you know what, give me a minute. I'm not really sure what's happening here.
Right.
You know,
and apologizing is always good.
Right, right.
You know, I'm sorry if I seemed on the attack there. Or if I seemed really unwilling to talk about it at the time.
Yeah. But I think a lot of, so that's a very typical response. I think another typical response is to overtalk.
Yes.
Well, let me explain that. And then go into a whole long tirade.
Yeah.
Of what actually did happen. And sometimes, I mean, I sometimes feel that need because you're looking at it in the last moment and you're thinking that it was a straight line, that, right. oh, you did such and such and that was the wrong decision, when actually right. many roads went Ooh. Down that yeah. caused it to be that way. And I want to tell you every single detail so that you're going to see you would have made the same decision as me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it wasn't as simple as it looks.
Right.
Right. Know? So the over-explaining is trying to convince your audience, whoever it is, of your point of view and what really happened, trying to tell your story.
Trying to give you the information because you're missing it. You're missing
So here's every
point.
Single detail.
Right. This is how I got here.
Yeah. I've done that.
Most people don't want to hear.
I have done yeah. that many times. And I think I over-explain when I feel like I'm losing someone's attention or oh. that they are they're questioning my authority of what mm-hmm. do I really know. Mm-hmm. And I start to feel just horrible about halfway through the conversation. But it almost feels like I can't stop myself, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I practice now is if I start on that road, because it's usually it's not just one sentence, it's a conversation, right?
Yeah.
What do they call it? Word vomit?
Word.
Affectionately.
I think it is a vomit. It is.
It's blah. It's all
yeah.
the information
if I find
out all
myself, at once. Well, funny, actually, it's also another version of being on the defensive, right? Because
right,
you're
right.
actually trying to explain away what's happening as fast as you can in as many words as can come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like being defensive, you lose your audience pretty quickly.
You most certainly yeah. do.
They want the eyes glazed. Yeah,
they want over. They want you to bomb. They don't want. They want you to bottom line it. Like, give me
right.
yes.
the short version.
Yeah.
And sometimes there really isn't a short version, or
right.
I'm not going to feel satisfied if I give you the short version because you don't really Ooh. Know what I went through.
Right.
But I mean, I know there are certain people in my life that I know don't want to hear the story.
Yes, my husband.
Why?
He wants to hear your story, but not my story.
My husband wants to hear it after he sees a good reason to hear it.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a straight line. But, I mean, there's other people that, you yeah. know, it's, yeah, there's other people.
Well, actually, so here's a great point that you made before we started recording today, which is that the whole thing about talking under stress, communicating under stress isn't just about you, it's who's on the receiving end.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to know who you're dealing with. And there are individuals, I would say, who don't like a lot of talk,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who don't like defensiveness. There are some people who don't like it if you shut down, like they need to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and talking about my husband, I can tell you that I'm trying to explain something, I'll present, you know, five options and explain how I got to each one. And that is the worst. It's the worst. It's like, I just want one or two and a bullet.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And so in that case, it really hurts my case to try to explain things away. I think mm-hmm. I'm being helpful.
Right.
Yeah. See,
right.
I have found in situations like that's not a one-time conversation.
Right. That's right.
Like in that one conversation, you could bottom line it, and then you might want to come revisit that
right.
later in the day. See, remember the thing we're talking about? Well, here's another way. That's one thing you can do, but you don't always have that kind of time with your boss
that's
or
right.
mm-hmm. a supervisor or somebody in the company.
Right.
Personally, you can probably get it in at some point.
Yeah.
But telling too much is, in general, not welcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Telling too little is not welcome. So what's the answer?
Well, so if you know you're an over-talker under mm-hmm. stress, again, I would say you want to practice when you're not in stress, but maybe even feeling excited, mm-hmm. saying less mm-hmm. and asking more. I find, and I'll just say in my case, for example, let's say I'm with a client and I'm like busy talking, thinking I need to impress that person. When I have the consciousness of it, I will pull back and say, you know, hold on just a second. I wanted to go down this road, but what would really help you here?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's that thing of learning to interrupt yourself, when you can feel like you're on a roll.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not easy. But it's great to practice. If you can practice it, then it gets easier.
So, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes this does not happen in person. Sometimes it happens on the phone or Skype or Zoom.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And, you know, if you don't have a visual,
mm-hmm.
you
you might talk more and more.
Right. So when you have the visual, at least
send
you can
a huge email.
Well, you can.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Oh no,
that's
long emails.
Form.
Long no,
emails.
Never
right?
want
it. Oversharing.
That's
what
a
oversharing.
Form. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you do have to also learn to read the audience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, are you losing them? Are they interested? When did they tune out?
Yeah.
So that's also part of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful if you're going on and on and on. What are you saying? Like, is it
mm-hmm. right? Are you repeating
of substance
yourself?
Or value, right? Are you repeating yourself?
Repetition is another big no-no.
Right. Are you telling details that are really not that important?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You know,
I remember in Working For You Isn't Working For Me, we were talking about people's fears, you know, mm-hmm. and that sometimes what happens is that you do the very thing that reinstates your fear. Like if you're afraid that they're not going to listen to you or not understand you, you may then over talk, over explain, over defend mm-hmm. what you do out of a desperate need to be heard. Mm-hmm. And the result is that you're not.
Right.
So I guess that what I was just thinking, if one of your fears is that you're not hearing me, chances are you probably need to say less and not more
mm-hmm.
when you're under duress. You know, you need to really prepare. Actually, let's go back to Kathy's great recommendation always, which is to prepare. So if you know you're going into a stressful conversation,
you must prepare.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you really prepare your specific talking points and also prepare for their response. What might come your way.
What might, right. The more prepared you can be, the more you won't have to think as hard. It'll just sort of be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing to do rather than winging it.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I like the idea of also buying time and saying, you know, I really would like 24 hours to think about that. I hear what you're saying and it's not sitting well, so I would like some time to think about that and get back to you. And then they may overtalk, you know,
right.
That may make it more stressful for them. But you don't always have to react.
Respond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this last
group
of people that just shut down or that don't explain.
Yeah, the shutting
don't
down
explain
is
enough. Where's that coming from on the other
fear.
End of the spectrum? Different
right.
kind of fear.
Fear. Well, and also some people, and I've had this as well, and under stress have a physiological response where literally their emotions shut down and their thinking becomes less clear. So they can't find their words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that mm-hmm. person also has to take, you know, ask for some time.
Definitely. Right. And that's the person who really does need to prepare.
Yes.
Prior. And maybe it'll work, maybe it won't.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with actually, if you're instigating the meeting, bringing notes.
Oh, yeah.
And referring to them. We just did a mediation, and the one woman had her notes, and she could not recall. She had to look at her notes, and that was fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it showed the thought process that she had put into her planning
right.
the meeting.
That's right.
Prior to the meeting. So, I mean, people that shut down definitely, I mean, to me, it's as big a problem as the person that blabs too much.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just the opposite end of the spectrum.
Right, because people read into the silence as well.
Sure.
Right.
Well, they see it, I think, as a bit of a sign of weakness. I mean, both of them are, but, and they may pounce.
Mm.
Right. Right.
And, yeah.
It probably induces more fear in that individual when they literally can't get the words out and they're sweating and they're...
But I think we're all capable of having the whole gamut of being defensive, shutting down, and over-talking. I mean, all of us can do all of that.
Yeah. Depends on the day.
Or the person, right? There's certain people that might remind you of something or of someone that causes you to shut down or to overspeak.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people are very facile verbally, you know, like they just can, the person who's always got a great comeback for anything.
Right.
Usually that's the person who's either going to defend or talk a lot.
Right.
And that's just the way they're designed, you know, not that others can't do the same, but for the ones who really get stunned and can't come up with things, they're the same people who would not be coming back with the quick comeback, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So their preparation is so important for those individuals because you literally need your script and you also need permission to revisit a conversation, which I think everyone should give themselves permission to do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
actually revisit similar conversations, sure, or just mentally
go back and yeah, and say either if I spoke too much, you know, that conversation we had, I want to apologize. I feel like I overspoke, but here are the points. If that's what you need to do to reinforce what you were trying to say or where you were coming from. And if you didn't say enough, to come back and say, look, I was stunned and I'm sorry I wasn't able to respond, but here are my thoughts today.
Sure. I mean, sometimes I'll rehash a conversation and then think of something I should have said. So I may go back and say it, or, you know, sometimes you don't have that opportunity. So, you know, definitely when you, if you're stunned by a conversation, you weren't expecting it, you probably are going to say things you didn't want to say or leave out things you would have said because you just weren't prepared.
Right.
So I think that's when you can revisit, maybe, possibly. But I'm a big believer in preparing for most conversations.
Yeah.
Don't wing it, especially if they're stressful conversations.
No winging.
Yeah, get prepared. Just, you know, and I'm somebody who can think really quickly on my toes, but I prepare.
Yeah.
So I always think about it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What's going to be said.
You don't know
what's going to be expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good to know what you may personally be under stress. I know I shared before the time that I met with my professor, my when my personal life was falling apart and I ended up drawing all over my neck. I also spoke a lot. I also spoke way too much during that meeting.
You know, if that professor has a podcast, they probably are talking about that, that time.
Yeah. But I didn't know. I mean, I should have prepared for that meeting, but I didn't know how fragile I was. So it's just important to try. I mean, we talk about this a lot in terms of self-care, in terms of work, and knowing when you're at your limit, because I think that that's the time you are stressed out, and therefore in those moments, and it could be for an entire day, you may be either defensive or overtalk or not be saying enough, you know? So it just goes back to that general theme of taking care of yourself. We always talk about restoring your energy, repairing your emotional state, you know, generally taking care of yourself, but knowing if you're under stress that you may want to keep your tense or intense conversations at a minimum. You know, important conversations maybe you book for a day after you've gotten a good night's rest or something like that.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And you can't always avoid it. I mean, you know, those conversations, they tend to pile up for some reason, or they tend to be during tense times.
Yes.
You know, and everybody's tensions are flying. It's good to try to be the one person that is stays calm, stays cool.
Yes.
In the face of a lot of stress. Yeah. I mean, that's the person, that's leadership to me, is the person that can stay cool under pressure. That's a real goal, I think, for people.
Yeah.
And I don't always achieve it.
On our good days. Well, that's why we're so dedicated to working out. And
yes, it helps.
Yeah. Meditating can help as well with that.
It helps a lot.
Yeah. All right. So join us next time for another My Crazy Office Overtime, and we hope that your conversations are not too stressful.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.